it because it sounded cool and it was poetic. So that's the way it is. He wants you to be involved in what he's doing, and what he's doing is a rescue mission. Can I get a witness? He's doing a rescue mission. And when he raptures the church out, he's continuing the rescue mission. When he begins to let the world come unglued, he's still doing a rescue mission. Why? Because God so loves the world that he gave his son. Man, we just take him by his word. We say, I believe him. And just like Abraham, I believe God and it's imputed to me for righteousness. Man, I'm there. Sign me up. Gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Bible says at the end of chapter 11, it says, and the temple of God was open, and there was seen in the temple the ark of His testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Now there again, there you have some inside look at what's going on. Many believe that the ark of the covenant was destroyed sometime in the time of Babylon. Others believe that it might have been dispatched. But regardless of what you believe about the Ark of the Covenant, the Bible says heaven was open and the Ark was there. So regardless of whether you think it was destroyed or dispatched, one thing we do know, it's going to be displayed. Just like the wounds in our Lord's hands, just like the wounds in His feet, just like the wound in His side, He will bear for eternity. The Ark of the Covenant will be in heaven and on display. Jump over a couple chapters to chapter 15. Verse 5, the Bible says this. After that, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. You see, what we have here, and the reason I take you there, is to show you that he's not even going to get back to this thing for a little while. We're going to be introduced to the false prophet and the Antichrist in chapter 13. We're going to see a lot of stuff for you. See, this parenthesis is before us. The trumpet has sounded. Speeches have been made. Secondly, signs have been given. The words in verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 1. There appeared a great wonder in heaven. A great wonder. The word is simeon, and it means sign. A great sign in heaven. And the Bible says that the sign was a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, folks, some people try to make this merry, some try to make it any number of things, but the fact of the matter is, if you know your Bible, you know who this is. This is Israel. It is a picture of Israel. How do we know that? Because Joseph had a dream. And he dreamed the sun and the moon and the stars were all up there in heaven, and all of them bowed down to him in his dream. And everybody understood his dream. He was excited God was giving him dreams. But everybody understood it. And his brothers hated him, so they threw him into the pit and left him for dead. And then finally sold him into slavery. And he went and became part of Pharaoh's court at one point. Became second in command in Egypt to spare the people of God. The point is if you compare Scripture with Scripture, you understand that the sun, the moon, and the stars, who they are. Now, who's the moon and the stars? Who's the sun? Who's this woman? This woman is a woman who is clothed with the sun. That would be Abraham as the progenitor of that nation. The moon was under her feet, which of course was out of which came the rest of the nations, the mother and the stars upon the crown of 12 stars. That's the 12 tribes of Israel. She's just simply Israel. God says, a sign over history, a sign to the world that God is and there is no other is Israel. Folks, they've been trying to kill those people forever. You take Haman, he tried to kill him back there in the times, in the Bible, in the times of Esther. Haman tried to wipe him out. He made a decree, let's wipe him out. Got Herod, he's trying to wipe him out. Back in the times of Jesus, he said, well, we can't wipe him out all, we'll just get the baby Jesus. So he went and killed a bunch of babies, killed them because he thought the king of the Jews who was supposed to be prophesied about was coming. He tried to kill them. You got Hitler in our generation. And in the tribulation, they're going to try to kill them again. But they are still there. They are still a people. It's a sign to the world that God is. And He is to be served, worshipped, feared, loved, longed after. Folks, listen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't fear Him, there's something wrong inside your core. If you don't understand that God is the one who has the power of life and death in His hands, then you're missing something. Either you've been completely deluded by a world that has trained you to think there is nothing to fear, or you've just been overwhelmed by sin and so preoccupied with what's right in front of your face that you can't see it. But I'm telling you something. The Bible says, do not fear man who can, destroy the body.
He says, but fear Him who can cast both body and soul into hell.
God will do that. He doesn't want to. The Bible says hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. You know, fear's a motivating factor when we're babies, isn't it? I mean, sometimes if the kid thinks he's going to get a spanking, he's not going to do it. If he thinks touching the burner is going to burn his finger, he's not going to do it. If the kid thinks somehow he's going to be grounded for a month if he does something and be in mom and dad's bad side for a season, he's going to be a little more careful not to do it. Folks, God starts with fear, but then He brings us along in our faith and He says to us this, perfect love casts out fear. So if you're a child of God and you've grown in your faith, there should be a point where you get to the place where, you know, I'm not walking around in fear anymore. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 and or chapter 2 and 3, strive to enter into the rest. God wants you to have rest. He don't want you to live in fear. But fear is where you start. And so if you have never feared Him and never felt the dread of the Lord, you have reason to be concerned. Because that's where God starts. It's called conviction. God convicts. He convicts of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And that's what He starts with. He's going to convict you. You got sin, righteousness is in Jesus. You've got sin, righteousness is in Jesus. And judgment is coming for your sin. That's where it starts. And I can't drive it home. Only the Holy Spirit can. You either believe it or you don't. And if you don't, woe be unto you. Because if you're... You know, we got a world that is out of control. Maybe you don't know this, but this happened not long ago. That some couple of wiseacres out there, foolish people, got on the radio and they challenged American young people across America to make a YouTube video of themselves blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And the internet was loaded up with little videos of people videotaping themselves blaspheming the Holy Spirit, and they told them why they wanted to do it. Because the Bible says that all sin can be forgiven men, but he that blasphemes the Holy Spirit shall never be forgiven. So they said, I'm calling all of you to just step up and blaspheme the Holy Spirit. We are out of control. Now, if you've been in part of that, anybody in hearing my voice, call me because I can get you out of that thicket. Because just because you don't understand what a word means doesn't mean it can't be understood. There is a word about that, and I could help you with that. But the point being, that's our world. Brazen, impudent of face, no shame. We have forgotten to blush in this country. There is no shame. The sign, first of all, is the woman. And the Bible says in verse 2, and she being great with child, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another great wonder or sign in heaven. Behold, a dragon having on his head having 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 crowns. What I want you to focus in on this particular section is that what we're seeing here is the beginnings in verse 1 and the birthings in the several verses following. The beginnings was sun, moon, stars. That was all how they started. They started out 12 tribes, a man, a wife, and 12 kids, 12 sons to make the tribes of Israel come from. That's the beginnings. The birthings are in verse 2, where it says, she being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Now, that's the nativity, obviously. This is Jesus coming along, and it's obviously several centuries from when she was begun to this point in time. And the Bible goes on in verse 3 and says, and there appeared another wonder, and it was talking about the great dragon. And the Bible says at the end of verse 4 that his goal was, seeing the woman was ready to be delivered, his goal was to devour the child as soon as it was born. Now you're seeing God like a skipping stone. I thought it was great. We went canoeing on Memorial Day. And Brandon, you're going under. He's not in here. I can tell this story on him. He stood up in the canoe to skip a rock and he fell right out of the canoe. It was great. It was great. I mean, I didn't have my camera going, but it was a good time. But what God's doing here is He's skipping a long time. He says the beginnings, the birthings, and then here's the dragon trying to wipe him out. And he takes and he sends troops in where he was told that the child would be. And he killed all of the children that were under 3. He slaughtered the babies to try to get at Jesus. And that's what we're seeing. These are the high points of what God was doing with this sign that He chose out of people. And through history, He allowed them to be, as it were, a picture of His grace to this world. He picked out a people, not because they were great, but because they were the least of all people. And He will be glorified in them ultimately. Now look there in verse 4 again. It talks about, actually 3 and 4, it talks about a dragon. Now, the dragon, of course, is Satan, and he's the second wonder. And many things about him are set before us. First of all, seven heads. We're gonna look at him in detail later, but just to give you a little heads up, seven heads. Satan is the one who has brought all these world empires into play. I mean, it started out with Pharaoh in Egypt, and each one, Egypt, Assyria, you had Babylon, and then you had Medo-Persia, you had Greece, you had Rome, and a revived Rome. There's seven in number. It's all they're going to be. Now, we're at the point where the United States of Europe is in its place, and they're going to be bound together like iron with clay, and it's going to be a loose relationship, but they're going to have strength of iron. But they're going to have some individuality. That's what the clay mixed in there is all about. There's individuality, and there's going to be 10 kings. And hence we have 10 heads toward the end of things. And the Bible says, and he drew, in verse 4, a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. Now this speaks of the fact that he actually, when he fell, and he tried to usurp the glory of God, and said, I will be like God, he convinced a third of the angelic host to come down with him. To go away from God with him. Now, folks, I just want you to recognize something. If the devil can convince angels who can see God to walk away, do not think you are capable of withstanding his deception. You know, one thing in our gospel that we oftentimes leave out is that when you get saved, you get an enemy. When you got saved, you got a target on your forehead. The devil hates you. You're his arch enemy. You have aligned yourself with his rival, Jesus. And you are dangerous to him because he can't touch you if you're walking in a righteous life. If you're walking in a righteous life, just like you live a healthy life, and you wash your hands and you take care of yourself, get enough rest, you're not going to have to worry about germs. So it is with Satan. If you live a righteous life and do the right thing, you don't have to worry about the devil. You're seated with Christ in the heavenly places. I've given you power. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. I've given you authority and I've given you power. You can do it. Problem is, we don't know. The devil is a deceiver. We're going to see some things about him. But what I want you to see, first of all, is he's the guy who talked a bunch of angels out of their perfect state of blessing in presence of God. And if he can do that, he can try to mess with you and he can deceive you. So you really need to get yourselves aware of the Word of God more and more deliberately all the time. He wanted to kill the child at the end of verse 4. The Bible says in verse 5, and she, Israel, brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations. Now, it's pretty obvious. He didn't do that in his first coming. But the devil knew he was going to be the Messiah, the Prince. He knew he was going to be the King of Kings. He knew he was going to be his undoing. So he takes him on a high mountain someplace and he tempts him in the wilderness. Remember the wilderness temptation? Bow down and worship me and I'll give you all the glory of all the kingdoms. You know, turn this bread to stone. If you be God, you can do that. He started tempting him. He said, listen, I can give you all the... Just worship me. Didn't work. Jesus kept answering him with Scripture. You can worship the Lord thy God and him only shalt thou serve. And he kept giving him a 1-2 punch with the Word of God. You need to know the Word of God. The Bible says this child was born. He was born and he was the one who was to rule, verse 5, the nations with a rod of iron. That is what we have to look forward to. When it says rule, the word is shepherd. He's going to pastor the world with a rod of iron. That means he's going to deal with sin overtly and deliberately when it comes up. There won't be any of this goofiness we have in America today. We had an execution this past week. I think it was on Wednesday at 10 o'clock. This is 2009. This guy was put to death finally for taking a woman, talking to her for a few hours, and then putting her in a car and burning her to death in 1992. It's 2009. Nobody's even remembering the woman's death. Nobody even saw his execution. And we're just wondering why people's hearts are fully set in them to do evil. Well, Solomon told us, the Bible says, because the judgment is not executed speedily, the hearts of men are fully set in them to do evil. And it's just over and over. We're just getting worse and worse. No, when Jesus is here, he will rule right now. He will deal with it right now. People will realize, here's where you stand, here's what's required of you, and you will deal with that. Now, how does that work? Well, we come back glorified saints, but there are going to be a multitude of people coming out of the tribulation who are going to be looking like Leroy Brown with a few pieces missing. They're going to be scorched and hurt and stumbling and coming up with crutches and going to be thirsty and weak. And Jesus, King Jesus, is on the stage, as it were, on the throne, and He's going to heal up everybody's wound and bind up everything and wipe away all tears. And those humans who have not yet been glorified will go into the millennial kingdom, and they will marry and they will have children, and a new generation will come up, and there will be a whole new earth. But it will be a unique, different earth than this world's ever seen before. Because now, we, the glorified saints, will be here ruling and reigning with Jesus. You know? And then he will also have David ruling out of Jerusalem as a co-regent with Jesus. And we've seen in Isaiah that Jesus himself will teach right there on the streets. Be walking around and everybody will have access to him. I look at it like this. I think what's going to happen is David's going to take care of the executive issues and things that need to be done. And Jesus is going to be there just to sit on the edge of some well like he did with the woman at Samaria and tell them whatever they need to know and talk and share and be there and show us what's up. And he'll be shining and glorified and have his crown and he'll be awesome. And it's going to be a great time. We're going to be there. This is awesome stuff. And God never pulls any punches. He never goes like that, like he's going to hit. He says, this is what's happening. Boom! He says, deal with this. Own this. Know this, because this will bless you. This will strengthen you. Know this stuff. Good stuff. Bible says that this woman brought forth a child. Bible says in verse 5, not only was he was brought forth to rule, but he was also caught up unto God into his throne. That's when he ascended. He was crucified on the third day. He rose again for our sins. Historical fact, folks. Either Jesus was everything or Jesus is nothing. You can't have it both ways. You can't have a little dab of Jesus. Jesus challenges every sensibility you got. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. He says, he that has seen the Father, has seen the Father. He says, you know, you can't have me as a good teacher. I am God, and I am here, and I'm going to die for you, and in 3 days I'm going to raise up. And he did. And those who yelled, crucify him, 50 days later shouted, what must we do to be saved? Those same people who said, crucify him, mocked and laughed. 50 days later, when the Holy Spirit fell on Peter and those apostles in the upper room, and they came down and started preaching Jesus, they said, well, what must we do to be saved? The people who should have denied it couldn't deny it, because they realized what they had done was the most evil thing man had ever perpetrated. Well, he was to rule and he was caught up. And the devil's attempt to devour him is seen in the passage. And what we're seeing is, what I want you to hone in on now in verse 6 is it says, and the woman fled into the wilderness. Now again, remember, we're skipping across. We got the beginnings and we got the birthings. Well, the birthing, first of all, was of Jesus. And the birthing, second of all, is the rebirth of Israel. Because in verse 6 it says, the woman fled into the wilderness. And we're going to see him use these very same words in a few verses down. Where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. We just entered into the tribulation. You see, when the trumpet blew, it was at the end of the 3.5 years. The two witnesses who preached for 3.5 years were killed at the end of the 3.5 years. When they were killed, then 3 days later, they were resurrected. They were ascending in the sight of everybody. Saw them go. And they're out of here. And God is saying to you, ho, ho, ho. And every little kid's in the corner looking around the corner. Whoa, he's coming. Because he's coming.